Oh, and that's a brilliant effort. And they've turned it right around. In the space of a few minutes, Saudi Arabia grabbed control of the game.
Okay, welcome to the latest episode of Dowry, the Saudi football podcast, brought to you, of course, by Arab News. It's International Week, and Roberto Mancini's side are halfway through to Asian qualifiers for the 2026 World Cup and, of course, the 2027 AFC Asian Cup. So that means no Saudi Pro League matches to discuss on this episode. Should clarify, though, that no league in the men's football, because there's plenty of action taking place in the Women's Premier League. And our special guest will reveal to us later on a bit more about that. As usual, with me is Arab News sport editor Ali Khaled. We'll also hear from our own Khaled Al-Arafa, who's been following the Saudi national team's progress in Riyadh. So, AK, as expected, not an easy win for Saudi.
Hi, Peter. Yeah, good to be back. Well, we thought they'd win. I mean, they've got this doubleheader against Tajikistan, and we thought they'd win, but they haven't been playing that well. And so it was 3 points, but it was far from, from an easy game for them. It's quite disappointing performance again. Just a 1-0 in Riyadh. And in truth, the team continues to more stumble through matches than, put teams to the sword. We saw that in the poor performances in the AFC Asian Cup, of course. Before that, in the lead up to that, we were saying, okay, Roberto Mancini is finding his feet and all that. I think no complaints in terms of the result, of course. You expect to win at home against Tajikistan, but the performance, again, not inspiring. Our man Khaled Al-Arafa was at the match, and here's what he had to say.
Hi, Ali. Hi, Peter. How are you guys? So, the FIFA days. Here in Asia, the AFC World Cup qualification matches are being played. Saudi Arabia played against Tajikistan in a match that ended 1-0 to Saudi. The match was played here in Saudi, specifically in Riyadh. A goal came by Salem Adosiri at the 23rd minute. To be honest with you, it wasn't an easy match for the Saudis. Saud Abdelhamid, the Saudi player, said after the match, "We knew from the beginning that this match was going to be really difficult. The most important thing is winning. It's true that we had a lot of opportunities, but winning the match is the most important thing." Let's remember, Ali, the Group G, which has Saudi Arabia, Tajikistan, Jordan, and Pakistan. After this round, Saudi Arabia still on top of the group with 9 points. Then Tajikistan second, 4 points. After that, Jordan, 4 points. It's just goals different between them. Pakistan, last one in the group, 0 points. Let's remember as well that Jordan played against Pakistan the same day, but the match was in Pakistan. Jordan won 3-0. So we have to wait until next Tuesday for the next matches. Saudi Arabia will play against Tajikistan, but this time it's going to be in Tajikistan. I'll get back to you after that round and have a lovely day. Back to you, Ali.
Of course, as Khaled mentioned, Saudi have a maximum of 9 points from 3 matches so far from the group. So no one is going to be panicking in terms of like actual qualifications. And of course, there's always Salem Adosiri to count on. Thankfully for Mancini, he's been a shining light, since the Italian took over. However, I would say that the match in Tajikistan on Tuesday will be a major test. It's a major test for Mancini, because they've proven in Riyadh that they're not an easy team, and now it's a tough one to go to. Yes, Saudi are in a good position, comfortable position at the top of the table, but again, people are looking for better performances. There's little doubt that Saudi will progress from the stage of the qualifiers and into the third round, but a bad result will once again bring a lot of scrutiny on the Italian coach. The memories of the poor AFC Asian Cup, as we said, in Qatar, are still fresh for many fans. And uninspiring wins in matches you're expected to win easily will not do for much longer. I think people are looking for more now. personally, I do think Saudi needs to stick with Mancini. After all, he's still only been coached for about, you know, what, 7 months, between 7 to 8 months now. And, you know, he needs time to get his ideas across in a way that is, you know, very visible, that is very consistent. But, you know, I'm not sure that many fans see it that way. And more importantly, I'm not sure that many, you know, of the Saudi officials will see it that way if performances don't improve quickly.
Yeah, he's not really had an easy journey, has he? It seems to be from right from the get-go, it was like you had friendlies, they weren't doing this, the performances weren't this, the performances weren't that. He's really sort of never, he's always sort of been playing catch-up. The picture's going to get clear, Ali, on Tuesday night, one way or another. Tajikistan against Saudi, of course. 6 p.m. KSA time, keep an eye on that one. Of course, there was action elsewhere.
Yeah, in Saudi's group, that's in Group G, Jordan easily cruised to a 3-0 win in Pakistan. But as Khalid mentioned, they remain third on goal difference. I expect that to change after they play Pakistan again on Tuesday in Amman. Because they really will win that one. We expect, you know, Saudi hopefully will get something out of Tajikistan there. So Jordan could become second. The Asian champions, Qatar beat Kuwait 3-0 in Doha and faced them again in Kuwait on Tuesday. The cup final and tournament hero, Akram Afif, scored twice. Like Saudi, they have a maximum of 9 points, and that should be 12 on Tuesday again. I'd expect that. You know, in a lot of cases, Peter, you know, this group stage, these are mere formalities for Asia's big teams. You know, you'll see like a lot of them have maximum points after three matches. And I say mere formalities, that's not an insult to anyone, but there is a massive gap in quality in these groups between like the top team or the top two and, you know, those from pools three and four. For Arab teams, Syria drew with Myanmar 1-1, are second in Group B behind Japan. A lot of good results for the Arab teams. Oman top Group D with 6 points from three matches after they beat Malaysia 2-0. Iraq continuing their form from the Asian Cup, beat the Philippines 1-0 to lead Group F with maximum points. Likewise, the UAE under Paulo Bento maintained their perfect record in Group H with a 2-1 win over Yemen, with Bahrain 3 points behind in second place after they thrashed Nepal 5-0. In Group I, Socceroos remain perfect too, as expected. They beat Lebanon 2-0. And finally, last but not least, excellent 5-0. Best for last, I've left say this, you know, 5-0 win for Palestine against Bangladesh. Takes second place with 4 points in Group I, behind Australia. Starman Odai Dabba scoring a hat-trick. Yeah, listen, of course, everyone is going to say this is an expected result. You know, you expect Palestine to beat Bangladesh. But it's still a massive boost for the team and the nation, of course, with all the horrors that are going on. And in terms of qualification, the situation could get a lot better for them if they win in Bangladesh on Tuesday, as, you know, Lebanon, of course, play Australia again. So, you know, they could go, it's possible they go like onto 7 points and then they become, you know, I wouldn't say heavy favourites, but favourites to take that second spot.
I've got that one bookmarked, AK, especially when Palestine take on Lebanon at the start of the next international break in June. Yeah. Definitely want to watch. Great stuff, as always, Ali. Listen, now it's time for this week's very special guest, and it's a brilliant welcome back to Amy, our football commentator, not just for the Saudi Women's Premier League, but also the Saudi Pro League and international matches. So pleased to have you back, Amy. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thanks. How are you guys?
Very well, thank
very,
you.
Very, very good. Ali's itching to get in. We've got so many questions for you, and it's great to have you back on. I was just saying to you beforehand, it feels like ages since you have been on, but we've got you back. So over to you, AK.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
Hey.
We know Amy's is too modest to say it herself, but she has been extremely busy because we have been trying to get her on the show. And I think last time we spoke, Amy, was during the WAF Women's Championship, which took place in Saudi. How was that? Tell us a little bit about that one.
Well, I think, first of all, it's good to highlight that it was the first major women's tournament that the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia hosted. So, I mean, we've seen so many milestones knocked down in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia with the women's game, and it is quite remarkable if you just consider that the actual women's team in Saudi Arabia was only established back in September 2021. So if you consider everything that has happened since then, the speed of the progression and development of the women's game, it fascinates me. It really, really does. So for them to actually host the West Asian Football Federation Women's Championship this year, you know, that's another achievement in itself. The experience was brilliant. There were the three teams that were actually making their debut in that tournament, Nepal, Guam, and of course, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. The standard was very, very mixed. Jordan obviously took the win. A great final. Nepal, they previously actually experienced playing in the South Asian Football Federation Women's Championship. So it was their first time in the West Asian Championship. And to be honest, their standard was excellent. And they really gave Jordan a good game in the final.
Brilliant. I mean, it's as you mentioned, it's great that these tournaments are starting to be held. You know, we couldn't have even imagined that a few years ago, you know. And
yeah.
and for the Saudi team in particular, I mean, their improvement since, as you say, you know, in such a short period. I mean, this team didn't exist over 2 years ago. And surely having these teams of this standard, of Nepal's standard, certainly Jordan, the best of the Arab teams anyway, you know, for a while
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
You know, having them come play will accelerate. Do you think they will accelerate Saudi's improvement?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they always say if you play against better teams, it's always going to help you develop, even if the scoreline on the day is a little bit disappointing. And yes, it can be disheartening at times, but playing against better teams is always going to bring that playing level up.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, with having these tournaments, I think it improves. I mean, we mentioned this before, like when it comes to women's football, the ecosystem in terms that they're trying to have like more female referees, they're trying to have like, you know, obviously more female coaches in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
I know, like from the top in the federation all the way down to coaches and you know, grassroots, they're trying to have as many, you know, female individuals involved. So that's got to be a big positive as well.
Yeah, I think that's really good for you to mention, Ali, because it's not just that, you know, the game itself with regards to the players. It's also the background staff as well in all elements of the game. So it's not just the focus on the players themselves. It's different areas of the game, like you mentioned there, referees. Night before last, in this week's matches, Heba Adel Alawidi, she actually was the first female referee in the Women's Premier League. There has been fourth officials and assistant referees involved, but Heber actually led the game on Friday, which, again, another step in the right direction.
Brilliant. I mean, Heba, just to mention, she received her FIFA accreditation, I think, at the end of last year, Amy. I'm not sure. Maybe possibly in August, I'm not sure. But, yeah, she's and now she's one of 22 Saudi referees, men, male and female, who are credited by FIFA. Fantastic news there. Amy, of course, we know you commentate on the Saudi Women's Premier League. And, you know, we've caught you fresh off a match from last night. Who are you commentating on?
Yes, a late game indeed, anyway. So, I mean, the title's already been achieved by Al Nassr, you know, second time champions. You know, they pretty much didn't lose any games this season. They pretty much, it was a walk in the park for them in the end for Al Nassr. So all eyes turn now to the fight for survival. It is going to be between Eastern Flames and Al Riyadh. Al Riyadh only with 1 point at the moment, Eastern Flames with 4 points. Both lost their games within this match week. So it all goes down to the last two games of the season, really. And we also did have the El Clasico. It's obviously still a huge game, regardless of where they can achieve. Second place is where they're both fighting for at the moment. But the rivalry is always there, you know, with regards to, if you look at the men's league, looking at the women's league, you can see the rivalry between the players in the big games, such as the El Clasico, which is also great to see.
That's brilliant. And, you know, just a quick point on, you know, some of the performances, I mean, by some of the so top players that have been brought into the league, you know, they've really raised the standards, you know. And I think, I mean, you know, we did an interview got an interview with Ashley Plant of Al-Ittihad recently. And she's been absolutely brilliant, you know. I mean, you know, I know there are people who have maybe scored a few more goals and all that, but she seems to be a bit of a, like the star of the league, you know. Like, would you, dare I say, you know, is her impact a little bit like Cristiano's had on, you know, on the men's game in terms of attention, bringing attention to the league?
Yeah, for sure. And as you just said there, it's not as such as looking at top goal scorers. I think it's more the bigger picture that the likes of Ashley Plumtree is looking at, really. I've listened to her a few interviews that she's done with the likes of yourselves and other broadcast networks. And it's very much about the development of the game in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia for Ashley and the bigger picture and what they could potentially achieve with the women's game. The real role model for a lot of the younger Saudi players as well. You know, the wealth of experience that she does bring, also with the likes of Liam Robe that plays for Al-Ittihad, also Ella Kabachi that plays for Al-Shabaab. She's a new signing for Al-Shabaab. You know, it's not just the standard of these players. The standard is there and the wealth of experience that they bring is there, but it's also what they're trying to achieve as a whole.
Amy, you mentioned when you were talking about WAF, you meant the WAF tournament. You mentioned that the standards, you know, was, you know, there's, it varies. You know, I mean, there's a big gap in standard. And I'd imagine, you know, from looking at the results and all that, that's the case in the league as well. You know, I mean, what do you think the overall standard's like?
I think with the top three or four clubs, you know, the standards definitely increase in week by week. The lower end clubs, there is a big gap at the moment. But, you know, if you think about the Women's Premier League, it was only established last year. We're only in the second edition of the top flight league in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. So I think we have to take that into consideration. But at the moment, with more and more international players coming across, which is happening, you know, in the winter transfer window, clubs are all very active. It hasn't, you know, died down at all. So I think in the next 5 years, we're going to see a real jump with the standard of the game.
Amy, you mentioned, of course, that it had Ashley and Leanne Robe. What other players have caught your eye in the Premier League?
Well, in particular, last night, Ella Kabachi, like I said, she's a new signing for Al-Shabaab. She scored four goals for them. And it's not just about her scoring goals. It's the way she reads the game. It's the way that she leads the game as well. She's a new player and she's just slotted in. And I think she's going to be one to look out for, in particular next season, if she stays.
It was 4-2 was the final result, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Over Eastern Flame. Fantastic stuff. Amy, of course, you're still covering the men's Saudi Pro League as well. Al Hilal obviously breaking records left, right, and centre, and running away with the league. You know, but you know there are interesting, obviously, still a lot of interesting things that you know, whether it's at the bottom of the table or just behind Al Hilal. I like what's happening in you know, for the fight for third place as well. Al Ahli, possibly Ittihad coming back a little bit to challenge them. But so what games have you covered recently?
Well, I've got the Saudi Super Cup coming up, which is actually being hosted in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. So I'll actually be commentating on Al Hilal up against Al Nassr. So that will be a really good game because at the moment, yes, mathematically Al Nassr could still do it. But I think with the form of Al Hilal, I think the league is theirs. And it's, you know, it's going to take a huge error and a miracle for Al Nassr to claim the title. So I think this is a piece of silverware that Al Nassr could potentially claim if, you know, if they play a top game on the day. So that would be interesting and looking forward to that. That is obviously the semi-finals. And then I'll also be commentating on the cup final of whoever will be in.
Right. Fantastic. And the thing is, you know, like with Al Nassr, you know, they have gone through a disappointing period recently. Peter, you've mentioned a few times that it's all happened since that incident with Ronaldo. You know, that was a factor. But, you know, obviously it's a slight dip, you know, but unfortunately it's cost them. And I mean, you do think, though, it's a bit unfortunate for them that, you know, in my opinion, Al Hilal and Al Nassr are the two best teams in Asia and have played some incredible football this year. And it's just unfortunate for Al Nassr that they play in the same league as, you know, an absolute winning machine, you know, like, you know, anywhere else or any other season. And, you know, they probably win the league or at least be challenging. But, you know, it looks like they're not even going to be close.
Yeah, well, it was at the start of the season where they had a little bit of a rusty run, as they say. And then obviously recently the form's not been great, also being knocked out of the AFC Champions League by Elaine. That was a real kick in the teeth, really, for Al Nassr.
Yeah, I mean, we thought that with Al Hilal running away with it, they'll focus all, Al Nassr might focus all their attention on the Champions League. But, you know, unfortunately, an incredible second leg, of course, in Riyadh. But they are, you know, they're out. Last thing, Amy, the Women's Cup final is on Friday.
On Thursday, the 28th.
Oh, the 20th, Thursday, yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
So it's Al Ahly up against Al Shabab, and I think the real shock with the Women's Cup was Al Nassr was knocked out. You know, their form in the league has been A1. So I think I always enjoy when if the league leaders are knocked out or something, because it just adds a little bit more excitement. Al Ahly, you know, they're a solid team, also Al Shabab, so it could be anyone's on the day.
Right. Fantastic. We look forward to that. We'll keep an eye on it. Amy, thank you so much for joining us again. Always a pleasure, and really insightful stuff into women's football and men's football.
Thanks, guys.
Brilliant. See you. I'm not going to let you away just yet, though, Amy, because as always, as you're our special guest, there's always a catch. Listen, just speaking of that Women's Cup final at the weekend, give us a prediction for it. And if you would as well, give us an insight, give us a prediction for Saudi's trip to Tajikistan.
Okay, I'm going to say for the Women's Cup final with Al Ahly and Al Shabab, it's going to be a close game, but Al Ahly will do it 2-1 to Al Ahly.
Okay, brilliant. Good stuff. I'm looking forward to that one, actually. And for Saudi?
I'm going to go with 2-1 again. Stick with 2-1.
Yeah. I can see that as well. Siding with Amy here, Ali. Listen, how do you see Mancini's boys faring? You've already said it's not going to be easy. Give us a score.
Yeah, I mean, I think... You know, said that the performances have been uninspiring. I don't think we've seen Mancini's team really play expansive football and completely dominate teams. They weren't great in the last game. I still think they'll win. I agree with Amy. I think it'll be a narrow win. I think another 1-0, you know, probably another very tight game and another 1-0 for Saudi Arabia.
If Mancini is listening, he can direct all of his queries to Ali Khaled, because Ali is the one who's critical. I'm going for a clear win away from home, not sitting on the fence. So good luck. Listen, that's it for another episode of Dowry. Good luck to all of the Arab nations playing in midweek, of course, and to Al-Shabaab and Al-Ahli ladies in their cup final. We'll see you on the next episode.